What a privilege and an honor to be with you again today. Carrie reminded me that it was 20 years ago that she and I served as liturgist and preacher back when she was in high school, long time ago. It's been 17 years ago since I moved on from Christ Memorial. Just doesn't seem possible. We had good times together, and we grew a lot, and it's good to be back with you all. Marilyn joins me in wishing you God's richest blessings upon your continued ministry here in this place. May we join together in prayer. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some years ago, the American Medical Association reported an interesting case about a man named Jack Traynor. Traynor was an American soldier who had fought in the Gulf War. During the war, he was shot twice, one bullet severing some nerves and tendons in his right arm, the other putting a hole in his skull. Surprisingly, Traynor survived, although his right arm had been paralyzed and his brain suffered significant damage. Consequently, he experienced frequent seizures and could not walk. Eventually, Traynor was discharged from the military and put on full disability. After a few years of treatment, Traynor's doctors felt that they could do no more for him, so they released him from their care. Although they told him he would never walk again or be able to take care of himself, Traynor knew he had to prove them wrong. So after several years of hard work and earnest prayer, Jack Traynor could get himself out of bed. He could wash, shave, and even dress. He could also walk short distances on his own. Then, with much more work and more prayer, his walking improved significantly. It's just not possible, some of the doctors kept telling him, but Jack Traynor had done it with God's help. He had become a miracle patient. Over the next two decades, Traynor was able to set up a business, get married, father two children, and basically live a relatively normal life, even though his doctors had persistently told him that no one in his condition could ever possibly recover. He had done it. He had done it with God's help. Even though many had given up on Jack Traynor, he still managed to have a second chance at a normal life. The story, I think, is similar to the story we find at the start of the book of Ezra, the story we heard in our scripture lesson this morning, read by Carrie Jenkins. Like Jack Traynor, the Jewish people of the 6th century B.C. got a second chance at life. I suspect that the exiled Jews at that time were considered to be done, that they as a nation were thought by everyone to be finished. You see, very few folks in a situation as dire as theirs would ever be expected to overcome it. What few remained of these exiled people appeared to be paralyzed, almost as if they had one foot in the grave. They were considered a wasted people, a people who were finished after Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar's destruction of their temple in Jerusalem, as well as the destruction of the surrounding city. These exiled Jews were scattered and they were fragmented all over the Babylonian nation. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, God in his infinite wisdom and power can accomplish anything, anything, including the reviving of a people of faith. That's the miracle we read about in Ezra chapter 1. In it, we learn that through God's almighty and infinite power, the Jewish people, the people who had been held in captivity for generations, were able to get up and travel back to their homeland, all because of a surprising decree by then King Cyrus of Persia. Indeed, the Jews as a nation had been reborn. Yes, it was King Cyrus himself who was responsible for giving the order to allow the Jews to return to their homeland. 70 years had passed since the Babylonians had taken them into captivity and placed them in exile. We're told in Ezra that after the Babylonians had lost power, King Cyrus had been moved by God to let the Jews return to their land. This return to their homeland had been foretold by prophets, especially by Jeremiah. You see, God had promised his people that they would someday return to their land of their ancestors. And God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. My friends, God had told his people that he would be with them always, in both the good times and the challenging times. And God never breaks his promises. "Call me Yahweh," the Lord had said to them. "Call me I will be, because you must know that you can always count on me." And they believed God's word and God's promises. Later, during Jesus' life, God makes his promises to the Jews clearer yet, because Jesus was the fulfillment of all that had been foretold in the Old Testament. Yes, Jesus' ministry demonstrated to the people that he and his heavenly Father very much cared about everyone, about everyone. Furthermore, Jesus' miraculous power during his lifetime showed his oneness with God. Jesus himself made several promises to the people of his day. Among others, he promised abundant life to his followers. He promised forgiveness of sins to the repentant and the contrite. And he promised eternal life to all who believe in him and follow his ways. Then, when he died and was resurrected, he proved to the world that he indeed is the Son of the living God. Do you remember Jesus' parting words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven? He said, "I am with you always. I am with you always to the close of the age." God, his Father, had said the very same thing to the exiled Jews. "Call me Yahweh. I am with you always. You can count on me." Although Christ's physical body is no longer on earth, his spirit is always present and with us. Friends, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, God continues to always be with us. "I am the Lord your God, and I will be there for you. I make you promises, and I will keep them." Another point I want to make this morning about this message of hope that appears in Scripture is this. At the time when the Jews were released from captivity and were reborn, when real life started all over for them again, when fear was gone and God opened the future to them, the very first thing they wanted to do was to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Yes, their first priority was to give shape to their faith. After all, That's what the church is all about, isn't it? It's about giving shape to our faith. Even today, the church continues to be the visible shape of God's promises. It is through today's church that God will often speak to us. And within God's family, faith can grow deeper and stronger. And you are an example of that happening. John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer, said that the church is our mother, meaning that the church feeds us, nourishes us, and teaches us about the promises of God. Finally, on a personal level, God always keeps his promises to his people, to us. God promises to care about us, bless us, love us with an everlasting love, do what is best for us, forgive us, and give us the gift of eternal life. God is always with us in all times and circumstances of life, in the good times and in the challenging times. These are among the many promises of God to us. Indeed, it is through faith and the work of the church that God's promises continue to be made visible and tangible. Through faith in the church's work, God gives us the courage and the ability to do what God wants us to do. Through faith in the church's work, God's promises take shape and become reality. Sisters and brothers in Christ, as a church and as individual Christians, we are challenged to serve. As a church and as God's people, we are challenged to speak and demonstrate God's promises to our world. As a church and as Christians of the 21st century, we are challenged to offer hope and light to the world. And as a church and as followers of Christ, we can always believe in and count on the promises of God. For we do so in the name of our Creator, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, who is forever among us. Amen and amen.